Historia Mismas is here in Brussels. John Parker and his guests, his special guest today. Indeed, the studio is quite full. And John, the floor is yours.
Well, Francesco, it's always a pleasure to be with you. We've done several shows now on Radio Panic. So it's a good evening. Bonsoir, buonasera.
Kalispera.
İyi akşamlar.
So all different languages. This is a special show, Radio Panic, Historias Minimas, with the Eert World Voice of Greece. We will be hearing later from Tom Sidaris, a notable journalist and war correspondent who's working at Eert World. So tonight we're going to be meeting a special person. We have the renowned pianist Ishel Benghi with us. We have Maria Grazia Tanesi. We have Ian Clark. We have Vasilios Liogas and myself. And we have also Francesco De Rosa at the console. And later we will have Tom Sidaris joining us directly from Greece. And tonight Ishel is going to be presenting her new album. Already we had the privilege and great honor to have Ishel with us back in 2021 when she presented her first album, and again in in April last year, April 2022. So we are back here again, 1 year later. But this is a very special moment, I would say, for Radio Panic. And we have to... The things have changed a lot over the last year. So we will hear about the new album that was released last year called Anya Kunda. And there was a concert for this at Flagey on the 16th of December last year, when it was the first time it was played publicly. So, now...
Θα ήθελα να καλησπερίσω τους Έλληνες ακροατές μας. Είμαι ο Βασίλης Λιόγκας, που θα συνδεθούμε με τη φωνή της Ελλάδας και θα παρουσιάσουμε σήμερα ένα πρόγραμμα αφιερωμένο στην διάσημη πιανίστα Ισίλ Μπενγκί, σε συνέχεια και άλλης εκδήλωσης αντίστοιχης εν όψη του νέου άλμπουμ που κυκλοφόρησε. Η συζήτηση είναι κυρίως στα αγγλικά και θα συνδεθούμε με την ΕΡΤ σε λίγη ώρα, όπου ο Θωμάς Σίδερης από τη Φωνή της Ελλάδας θα μιλήσει μαζί μας. I said hello to our Greek audience, and I would like to ask you, Ishel, how did you choose the king of the instruments, which is piano, which was the reason? I have heard some things that piano helps concentration, improves the self-confidence. It needs, though, more exercise. It improves patience and persistence. And it is also an expensive instrument. So when you started studying music, why did you choose piano?
Actually, it's a good question, because it was kind of a hazard how it happened in my life. I have friends from my childhood, and one of them, they start to play the piano, and my mother asked me and my brother if we would like to also take some piano lessons. And we didn't really know, we said yes. So we start lessons, and I was quite youngest one of the group. I was 5 years old. So the professor didn't want to take me in the beginning, because he said she's too young and how it will be. At the end, he accepted me after some tests, because he test my ear and everything, rhythmical side, and everything was on right place, apparently. So I start lessons, piano lessons like that. and then it turned out very quickly something like passion in my life, and my brother and my friend, they stopped. They didn't play piano anymore because it was a lot of work. I just continued, and yeah, it became like piano found me, or I found piano, I don't know, but we found each other somehow.
Good evening, Ishil. I understand that, like me, you have been living in Belgium for quite a number of years, and I think it might be interesting for the listeners to know why particularly Belgium. I know now Brussels is one of the most international cities in the world, and Belgium is also a center for music, but perhaps you could say a few words about why you chose Belgium.
Sure. So at the beginning, I wanted to go to Switzerland because I have family there. And I mean, the idea of going from Turkey, it was because of learning the Occidental music in Occident. Because in Turkey, we don't really, I mean, there are a lot of good musicians and conservatories level is high, but the opportunities are less. So I wanted to come to Europe. And first idea was to go to Switzerland. I made some exams there for the entrance, and I was accepted in Lausanne and in Zurich. But then I met a very nice, very great pianist and nice teacher, Yevgeny Mogilevsky, a Russian pianist. He was a winner of Queen Elizabeth competition in 1964. So I met him in Istanbul, and he invited me in his class. And so all my plans changed because I liked him very much, and I liked his way of playing and everything. So that's why I came to Brussels. I came for a professor. He just passed away, actually, Yevgeny Mogilevsky. He was an amazing musician, so I sent him all my prayers and love from here.
Ishil, it's so nice to be here again.
Yes.
With you, and Radio Panic, and Jonathan, and Francesco, and the other guests here, Vasilis and Ian. I have a question for you, which actually came to my mind as soon as I saw the CD. And what is it? What does it mean, Anikunda?
Yes, Anikunda is a word from Sanskrit, which means form of energy form. And you know, my previous album was Terre de Jeu, was speaking about spontaneity, curiosity, and love and liberty and everything after a very isolation period. So I wanted to make good to me, good to the people with this album, make something light and joyful. But after all these things, and I was feeling also I had a lot of anger in me and a lot of injustice I was feeling because of how the things happened in this period for many people, also for musicians, for artists. So yeah, this album came with all these emotions, with all these feelings that I wanted to transform, because they were quite negative feelings. I want to transform them and make something positive, creative in my art. So Anikunda came in the idea that fire, all these dark emotions and fire of inside of us, how we can use it to something positive and something useful. And I also feel, I know that we have all our flame inside of us, which makes us to continue whatever happens. So I said, okay, what makes us to continue? What in life that we can have very traumatic things and very difficult periods, but we always continue. What makes it? So it was also this flame. So everything was turning about a flame, fire, all these emotions which gives fire. So I said, okay, let's do maybe around that what comes to me. So I started to listen many music, different composers, and the program came out. It was like the ligne rouge, I will say, the red line of the album.
So another wonderful project after Iake.
Yes.
Which was presented on MG Concerts, actually.
Yes.
And Terre de Jeu.
Yes.
So congratulations, and every time a very special project.
We'll talk
about it.
Thank you very much. Thank you to being here today also.
Thanks to Maria Grazia that I met Ishil in the first place, because it's MG Concerts, Maria Grazia Concerts, which is based in Brussels, which is a wonderful hideout for music, as yes. to use the actual name of the initiative. And I think three is a good number as well.
the third album, you know, you're beginning to consolidate, you've done things before, and then there's an evolution, I think, also in the three albums, from Ikea in January of 2020, and then we have Terre de Jeu, or Playground in English, in December of 2021, and now we have Anya Kunda. There's a three different albums, but complementary albums. So I would also like to ask you, is there an evolution in the pieces, in the choice of pieces that you have played on each album? And is there a reason that, in fact, there isn't a repetition of the composers on each of these three albums? Because they're all different composers, I noticed. And to what extent has the outside environment, so you've already mentioned a bit the difficult period we've had, but that's been pretty important, I think, also for the selection of the pieces on your three albums.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's an evolution, it's sure, because in our lives we all get forward, we learn things, and we grown up with experiences. So I think there's an evolution that you can, I think, hear more than myself what is different and what is getting the evolution in it. And yeah, here it's a kind of repertoire. It's more concentrated on the romantic music and also, of course, modern music also. But romantic music is the style of composing where I feel, I think, more close to myself. And since my studies, since I started to play the piano, I was very encouraged to play romantic music as well as impressionist music also. And this piece, for example, we will play a little bit later, but I speak already about it, Goyesca's piece, and La Mort et la Muerte. And this piece was, some friends of mine, since years they spoke to me about this piece, they said, you should play this one because it's really going very well with you. So it was their intuition. And this was the time, for example, I could put it also in this album. So the evolution, I think, it's happening, yeah, as you say, with what's happening in our lives, and the pieces are coming like that. We have some things to express as a person already and also as an artist. And about the composers that you were telling that are not repeating in the albums, this is a little bit luck or question of azar again. Maybe next album it will be someone will come back, some composers will come back. So this, I don't know really why it happened like that, but it just happened like that.
Yeah, well, spontaneity is very important as well.
I think so, yeah.
So I think we've been talking enough, but so we will play the first piece on the album now, which in fact is the single, by the Russian composer Mila Balakirev, which is called Lullaby or Berceuse in French, from 1869, but was revised in 1902. So let's hear it. Thank you. We are on Radio Panic 105.4 FM in Brussels, Belgium. And we're on Historias Minimas, the top show of Radio Panic.
So we've just heard the single, Inshallah, and I'd be interested to know how you decide that a piece makes a good single and whether length is important. I remember when I was young, a single could only be 3 minutes, and then things evolved and they could be 5 minutes and so on. And so I was wondering whether that's a reason, and also whether you think the single should always be the first piece on an album. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Actually, first piece, I think it's not necessary. In my case, it was a bit accidental. In my first album, Hikaye, it was the first piece was single. But in Terre de Jeu, for example, it wasn't the case. And here is the same again, first piece. So it depends how the order is. But length is, quite an important point. My previous albums, they had many pieces. They were short. So I had much more choices to say, okay, what I can take like a single, which is representative of the album and or the idea of the album, energy of the album, whatever I want to express. Here it was a little bit more complicated because most of the pieces are long. And so I was a little bit more limited in my choices of the single. But this Berceuse Lullaby was quite easily came out because it was showing the two sides that I wanted to show of the like the fire and flames and this subject, that there was part of it which was making warm, which was making feel comfortable, like the fire can make us warm, and the other side as the middle of the piece, it's becoming like a nightmare, so it's becoming dark and it's becoming like some kind of burning part of the fire. It's not nice anymore, so it can go in this side too. So it came like I was lucky, maybe this piece was not so long and these two elements were in it, so I could put it like a single, and by chance it was the first piece of the album.
And you have also had some success as well with the single. It's been played quite widely.
Yeah, it was nice. The people, they gave good reactions of it, so I think it was a good choice. I hope so.
Thank you, Isil, because you make a bridge with my next question. At Flagey concert, during your performance, I had the privilege to sit on the left side, first row of the audience, having a perfect view of your hands and fingers. It was marvelous to watch your fingers following the melodies and the calmness in this lullaby, as the mother lulls her child singing peacefully. And then, almost feeling the nightmare you mentioned, waking up while your fingers and body moved like the waves on the sea. I wonder whether you leave each piece playing it, or better, you experience it. It is not so easy with so many ebbs and flows during the same piece. Obviously, a lot of subtleties and hidden inside each of your chosen pieces.
Yeah, actually, it's a very interesting question what you ask, because as an artist, we always want to leave us completely in what we do, like listeners, but we have a responsibility of to like gouverneur, you know, of the bateau, how we say in French. So it's not possible to leave yourself completely in the piece as you listen. So it's a little bit like a schizophrenic way of putting always 1 foot outside, which is making the direction of what's happening. And the other side, you just let yourself inside of it. So, and when you get stressed, they mix up a little bit. It's becoming more difficult to having the mastering all these two parts. I mean, in my case, I leave it like that. So I like to completely leave myself in the piece and have the dreams and what the acoustic of the hall and what the people, audience give me to have this, what we call magic happens. And but at the same time, if you leave yourself completely, for example, I have always reactions very emotively in my body also. I can start to shake and I can start to even cry sometimes because it can touch me what it's happening out of the instrument. So I have to always keep one part out to not let my playing to be affected of it. So it's always happening two things at the same time. You cannot completely leave yourself, but if you become only in control, then it doesn't sound interesting. So you always try to be somewhere like an acrobat on the line. You always, you know, you can fall down, but you don't fall down. So you keep the balance.
Yeah, it must be a real balancing act. And I guess each time you play it, the balance is different as well.
Sure.
Every single time.
Sure. Yes, it depends of many elements, actually. It depends of the whole. It depends of the, even sometimes the climate of the whole. If you are warm, if you are cold, and how the sound is on the stage, how the sound is in the audience, and how the audience is. Sometimes the audience is cold. Sometimes you have some audience which are not reacting. They are just sitting and listening and not giving. So how you do it with that, you know? Or sometimes they are so emotional and they are really participating. So you have, and your instrument is different also every time. This is the challenge of pianists. We don't come with our instruments, so everything's changing. Pedaling is changing, touch is changing, and the instruments also have sometimes very great, regulation, and sometimes they are not really well technically, mechanically, so you have to adapt of it. And there are many elements to take in consideration.
Yes, I hope at the picnic concert, as it was called, where we heard the album for the first time on the 16th of December, I hope the audience, I was there with Vasilis, I remember, I hope the audience was responsive. I think we were. We weren't that many because I think there was a strike here in Belgium on that day. There was a national strike and then people couldn't get there, unfortunately.
Yes.
But even it was a cold day as well, but that doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't, I guess the room doesn't have to be full for an audience to be reactive. You could have...
No, not at all. I mean, it can be only 10 people and it can be... amazing, and sometimes it can be a full hall and it can just be cold because people are not really in it. So actually this day the hall normally had to be almost complete. This was where we were going the in Flage concert, but many people were sick, and because of this manifestation,
yes,
and everything.
This grève nationale or national strike. Yes, I remember that, yes. Anyway, now we will hear the next piece on the album, which you already mentioned before, Enrique Granados, Love and Death, Spanish composer from Catalonia, in fact. And this was premiered in 1911, and it's part of a wider masterpiece called Goyescas, which, of course, is inspired by the late 18th century, early 19th century painter Francesco Goya. So let's hear this beautiful piece of music, Love and Death.
Thank you.
Wow, l'amor e la muerte. We are on Radio Panic 105.4 FM on Historias Minimas. Indeed, Isha, there's a lot of flame in that piece. Really, I could feel it. And I, in your own leaflet that you wrote about this piece, you actually said that is that this piece should be played with great expressiveness, akin to a person happy to suffer. And it's certainly in sharp contrast to the preceding lullaby. When you prepare an album like this one, Anyakunda, to what extent is the order of the pieces on the album important?
Actually, this phrase was said by Granados himself. So that was the way he composed and he felt this piece, I think. And but I also feel with this piece, like he had kind of intuition and prévoyance of his own death, I think. As he died, maybe you would like to speak about it later also, he died in a boat, and when he was trying to help his wife, because they were in a boat which was torpedoed, and so he died for love, actually, of his wife, because he wanted to just help her to survive. So when I start to work this piece, I was feeling like, you know, human beings, we can sometimes have this kind of prévoyance in our lives. Like people sometimes say some phrases, write some books, compose some things, like we are talking about ourselves in future, which makes like the time is not existing really in life sometimes. And it's one of the very passionate part of this piece, and it's kind of a montagne russe, like the Russian mountain, and it's not stopping, and the structure is very strange also, somehow we are not really get used to this. And I'm really happy because the reactions of the people, even they are not get used to this kind of music, it's very positive, because I think the people, they feel what's happening in the piece, and even it's a little bit more strange structure. And order of the pieces, I don't know, it's coming to me a little bit like in a way of intuition again. When I start to work on a program, I'm just starting to write down and like first sighting of the piece, and very quickly the order is coming. When I hear pieces, I like to way of they contrast each other, and way of that they connected to each other. So I think this is the way that more intuitionally I do the order. So it's coming more natural way like that.
Yeah, it was in 1916, of course, when that unfortunately happened, when the boat was torpedoed by a submarine, which was very strange that it happened. It was a great tragedy indeed. He changed boat. He was going to go back on a Spanish boat, but he opted to take an English boat, and then it was torpedoed. Anyway, Maria Grazia, I think it would be just very useful to just maybe tell the audience a little bit about MG Concerts, and what it is, how it was created, when it was created.
Well, MG Concerts is, voilà, the my baby. the MG Concerts is right now is an association, a charity, a non-profit organization, which supports the musicians and music. And it started 10 years ago, not as an association, but as an initiative, a hobby, let's say. Having concerts at home, house concerts with a few musicians at the beginning. I didn't know many, actually. I think I knew only two musicians. And they were, in particular, Johanna Peiler at the cello and Sabine Weyer at the piano. And we started with the first concert, and I bought 20 chairs at the IKEA. And the concert was a great success, and people were very, very happy. I mean, it was a kind of Babette's feast effect at the end of the concert. And so everybody said, okay, let's do it again. Okay, let's do it again. And it was the beginning of a big, big serious. So the first year was already, we had already 12 concerts, the second year 24, then 36, and then at that point in 2016 we created the association, the non-profit organization. Of course it all started with the piano, because that's my passion as a musician who, I mean, for somebody who wanted to be a musician, will be next life, for sure. I must have been in a previous one. This one didn't work so well, point of view of playing myself, but that's why I want to listen to great music played by wonderful musicians like you, Ishil, and without moving from home. So this is a very egoistic, actually, project. Anyway, so at the end of the story, yes, it became became quite well known, and we were blessed, I would say, with wonderful musicians like Maria Jo Pires came, and Philippe Graffin, and Misha Maisky, and I could say so many names. It's hundreds and hundreds, to be honest, of musicians, some very young, some others very well established, and but always with the same spirit of listening, learn, getting fascinated, support the musicians, and so that's then little by little. Then there is this today. We organized with the CPF Festival a concert for the in favor of to help an association which helps people in Turkey on the terrain right now in this moment. I know that this is this must have been a terrible trauma also for you, Ishil, like for anybody else who is Turkish and who lives far away. And in front of the fact that we are all, we don't know what to do, how to help, but we wanted to do a little thing, just a little thing. And so we organized a concert in the MIM, in the Sirius Music at the Museum, which is organized by the CPF Festival.
Yeah, MIM is the Museum of Musical Instruments here,
yes,
in Brussels.
Oh, yes, MIM. Sorry. Yes, I'm too fast. The Museum of Musical Instruments, we have a Sirius, which is organized by CPF Festival and MG Concerts. And this was, today, it was an extra concert in which all the tickets were devolved for a charity, for an association which is there under the rain. The next concert of music at the museum will be on Sunday, 12th of March, at midday, with Sophie and Maria Lang. So everybody's very much welcome, and to look into the CPF Festival website, Music at the Museum, Le Museum Musique, and they will find all the info about these concerts. But the house concerts continue, of course, and voila, I've been talking too much.
No, you're not talking at all,
no.
Maria, grazie.
It's very good.
It's wonderful to hear you. We're on Radio Panic, 105.4, Historias Minimas, and... So we will carry on now listening to the album Anya Kunda.
Yes, so now we will listen to a scherzo. Scherzo number 2 from the only female composer of the album, which is Clara Schumann. And she composed this piece in 1845, probably in Leipzig. So we'll now listen to the music before we talk about it.
Thank you.
Radio Panic 105.4, Historias Mínimas, the show.
Now, Ishiel, we'll listen to this beautiful piece. Why Clara Schumann inspired you so much, and why did you choose this particular piece?
Actually, when I start to do the repertoire of this album, and I start to listen many different pieces and composers, and I think Clara is the name which is coming with me since almost 3 years now. So yeah, it started with Clara Askill, the theater show in which I'm playing, and now it's Clara Schumann. I think there is something, you know,
there's something about
in
Clara.
The air. Yes, and Clara means also like clear light, and my own first name means also brilliant in the light. So maybe there is also similarity between, I don't know. So this piece came because I was working on this fire theme, flames and fire and inside fire. And this is the only piece that Clara Schumann wrote with which this kind of passion and this kind of engagement. All her pieces are amazing, but it's more melodic in general, more singing way. And this one is like really a lot of passion and a lot of virtuosity. So I was feeling that it was really suiting very well with the repertoire. And I liked also the way that all the human beings, that we are women or men, we have all this woman or man energy side in it, in us. So like her in this piece, we can hear it's there is something more homogeneous, not really vertical written, maybe only the middle side a little bit more homogeneous way that we can say more female energy, but at the same time, a lot of Mars energy in it and a lot of person in it, so it's like masculine energy. So I like this way that we are not separated, we are all working together, and we cannot understand really when we hear it, it's a woman or man, because who cares, that it's just music and us human beings.
Yes. Can you tell us about your next project then, about with the Clara Askill and Laetitia Castel in Paris?
Yes, so we are touring with this theater show written by Serge Kribus. He's a Belgian author actually. And the director is Safi Nubu, and the comedian, so the actress is Laetitia Casta, and I'm on the piano. So this tour is since October 21 that we are touring, and we already played 3 weeks in Théâtre du Rond-Point in Paris in January 2022. So and it was quite successful, and the public liked it, and so they invite us again. So this year we are going back from 8 till 26th of March again to 3 weeks in Théâtre du Rond-Point. We will play 16th representation of this project.
Brilliant. Congratulations.
Yeah. In fact, I went last year. It's a wonderful theatre, Théâtre du Rond-Point. Mm-hmm. And yes, you've taken it also around different European countries as well. We went to hear you in Uccle in Brussels in December, I think it was, or November, mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. you did it. So,
yes.
Yeah. Now, we were going to carry on with the album, and the fourth piece on the album, in fact, is a series of 27 variations on a theme in C minor written by a Serbian composer, Marko Tatjevic. I don't know if I say it right. Do I say it?
Tatjevic,
yes. Yeah. Thank you. In 1948. So this is actually 27 very short pieces. So it's different from what we've heard before, the longer pieces, but this is a special part of the album. So let's hear this.